I want you to give everybody your definition. When you say it was an inside job, people are going to say, well, what about these crazed fundamentalists? I want you to give your definition on what you believe their involvement was, so you're not out there hanging thinking they weren't involved at all.
Sure. When you say inside job, and you know, if you study criminology, I took a little bit of it in college and kind of a buff just on the, you know, the true crime stories. And I've heard you interview a lot of the experts, psychologists and others on serial killers and just the whole criminal mind. So I know you're somewhat of a buff on it, George. You learned that most crime, in fact, a majority of it, is an inside job. Most child abuse is an inside job. You know, it's a family member or a neighbor. Most arson is an inside job. Most crime itself, and I'm not talking about the government or elements of it.
Or petty drugs. Or petty drugs. Some guy gets robbed on the street, for example.
Exactly. So normally it's an inside job. And we look at 9/11. When we say inside job, we mean there had to be people inside the buildings. There had to be people with access. There had to be more to the story than we're being told of 19 people with box cutters commanded from a cave, because the science and the evidence shows that. Then you can debate who did the inside job, or who stood to gain from it, or who had been involved in government-sponsored, that's criminal elements of the government, which is an important, you know, thing to note, in the past. Clearly, and I've got, you know, a lot of notes here, a lot of articles, a lot of history on this, to understand how the Muslim extremists are involved in terrorism and how they are, to some extent, a threat to Western civilization, you then need to see the bigger picture and understand that at the end of World War II, Hitler, and this is all on the record, Hitler had recruited many of the Muslim nations. He had helped put people into power. He had invaded North Africa. He had made cash payments and gold payments and sent his agents all over the Middle East proper, and had recruited and gotten a lot of these people on board. In fact, you know, Turkey was on the side of Germany back in World War I, so this was an old relationship. And everybody knows, you know, the History Channel reports it every night. We call it the Hitler Channel because it's all they got is World War II documentaries on there about Hitler, it seems. And so, to make a long story short, what happened is everybody knows that the CIA, which was the OSS until 47, went in and recruited all of the assets from the Nazis to the Greek assets they had, to the Italian assets, to the Russian assets, to the Muslim and Arabic assets, whether they be Christian or Muslim, or Zoroastrian for that, you know, matter in Iran. Our government, the British government, came in and picked up all of those connections, and then now we have declassified documents, and I cover in my film Terror Storm, like Operation Northwoods, but this predates that. This is Operation Ajax, and it's the after-action report of Kermit Roosevelt, the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, the CIA section chief, and he writes an after-action report to President Eisenhower and to 10 Downing Street and the British Prime Minister, where British intel and U.S. intel, using the Muslim Brotherhood, the assets they picked up, you know, the asset list they'd gotten from the rat line, all the Nazis and Gestapo agents we brought over here, they then used the Muslim Brotherhood to stage terror attacks, blowing up mosques, machine-gunning crowds, killing imams, to then blame it on the elected leader of Iran, who was actually pro-America, Time Magazine, Man of the Year, Mohammad Mossadegh. They overthrew him to get the oil supply. This is all admitted. You can read his after-action reports. They're at CIA.gov. We have copies of them in the film. And so, and it was so successful in his after-action report, he says, we need to continue this all over the world. The next year they did it in Guatemala, with the Big Fruit Company, famous case. They did it all over the Middle East, where they didn't want secular, mainstream leaders in the Middle East and in Central Asia and in North Africa, for that matter. They wanted dictators. They wanted radical Muslim leaders, which they thought would be a bulwark against secular communism. And so all over the Middle East and the world, for that matter, they installed in a policy of oppressive dictators and of radical Islam, and starting in the mid-50s, and this has even been in the Washington Post, millions of dollars a year was paid to have radical documents written up for the Muslim schools all over the world, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, and our government actually wrote the textbooks in Arabic, explaining how America needed to be attacked, explaining how the Russians needed to be attacked, basically to make sure that those weren't first world nations and would be kept in squalor. And it was also a divide and conquer strategy to play off Sunni against Shiite and against then subdivisions in those two major branches of Islam. It was a divide and conquer Balkanization strategy. And then, of course, everybody knows about, or should know about, 1979, Brzezinski, National Security Advisor. He's written two books on it now.
To Carter.
Yes, to Jimmy Carter, created what is known as Al-Qaeda, and that was the computer file name. He's now written about it. In the State Department computer was called Al-Qaeda, which means foundation, and or the ground, or the base, the pillar. The base of the pillar is what it translates to actually in the Arabic. Hey,
bottom line, this is a deeper story than the public knows or was told in the beginning.
Yes, this is, in fact, he wrote one book in 97 and told part of it. Now he just got a new book out, which I hate to even promote, but he did, and I've got excerpts of it in front of me, where he brags about Operation Cyclone, and he talks about how wonderful the Taliban are, how wonderful these groups are, and how people think the Russians just attacked Afghanistan. No, they funded what is Taliban and Al-Qaeda today to actually attack the underbelly of Russia in northern Afghanistan up into those countries just south of Russia. And so they were trying to suck the Russians into a Vietnam, and then we all hear the story about the Mujahideen, the freedom fighters, and what developed from that. Then in the late 90s, this is a Republican Senate report chaired by Alphonse D'Amato, the senator from New York at the time, then $44 million, and there's a lot of other examples, but I'm just hitting the big ones, $44 million we know of was paid actually to the Iranians, who then funneled the money into Muslim extremist groups, including Al-Qaeda, who went into Serbia, and in the south, in Kosovo, they blew up schools, they blew up school buses, they snipered people, and as soon as Slobodan Milošević, who I'm not saying is a great guy, the point is they played people off against each other, as soon as he poured into the south, we can tell folks after the break, the point is they staged that event, and when Serbia fought back against Al-Qaeda, our troops were sent in to bomb them with depleted uranium.